Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are in the book of 1 Peter on Sunday mornings as sojourners of faith. From here to heaven, this place is not our home. The outlook of our life points us to the eternal God and the residence of heaven. I want to talk to you about being born again. As we are talking about the journey of our faith, the sojourning of the Christian, a monumental event in our lives is being born again. I want to describe that, but also I want to talk about the benefits of being born again and also the blessing. So if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm not worthy to bring this message to you, and my great fear is I'll mess something up the way God the Spirit has captured that message through Peter. But I want to talk to you about the benefits and the blessing of being born again. Now, we often don't use that term born again. We say, well, I got saved, or that I asked Jesus into my heart. Now, what we need to talk about, regeneration, that is being born again. It's the event in our life that is crucial for your journey of faith. You can't get to Jesus, you can't get to heaven unless you're born again. So let's talk about the benefits of being born again. Now, Nicodemus asked that question, how can a man be born again? Now, he said, I'm an old man, how can I physically be born again? But we're talking about a spiritual event in which Jesus comes into our life, the Holy Spirit comes in and makes us new. We're regenerated, made into a new form. We're converted. That moment you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you're different. The Apostle Paul said, you're a new creation. Old is gone. Behold, Jesus makes all things new. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm glad God doesn't count my past to dictate my future. Now, Nicodemus had that question, and I want to go back to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about the rebirth. So John 3, Jesus answered him, like how to be born again. Truly, truly, or for the King James in the house today, verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit's influence, but one of the great works of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the process of salvation is to make us new. We're reborn. Whenever you become a believer, you're reborn. Now, let me spend some time talking about the benefits of being born again. As I was studying this, I felt like an HR representative talking about the benefits you will receive when you come into the fold of Christianity. Now, I don't like HR. I don't want to be around HR. To all the HR people in the room, forgive me. But I want to give you three benefits, okay? So when you say, I'm going to come into Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates you, makes you new. But there are benefits with this position. And by the way, all of these benefits you don't earn, you don't keep. There's nothing you do about this. It's all because of Jesus Christ. And if you can't earn them and you can't keep them, they're based upon the merits of Christ. He earns them and he keeps them, and that's great because they're secure. We'll get to that. One of the first benefits I want to talk about being born again, as we sang just a moment ago, is a living hope. This is achieved when Christ was resurrected, not upon your salvation per se. All of our hope, our living hope, is based on the cross and the tomb, not your prayer. And I'm good with that. A living hope is a forward-looking promise of certainty. No chances. No what-ifs. Now, I know when we say the word hope, there's the connotation of chance. Like tonight. I hope, dot, dot, dot. Now, I don't know what the outcome of the game will be, but I know there's going to be a lot of food. And we're going to toast that game with a handful of pulled pork, I think. A rib in one hand, pulled pork in the other, and lift it up high. But when we talk about hope, there's no chances involved. So when we say, I hope to see Jesus one day, it's a promise. It's a forward-looking promise. It is alive. It's ongoing. It's continuous. A living hope never ceases. Let me break it down to you like this. How can I explain hope in the terms that's written biblically? In the morning, I hope to have coffee. There's no chances. There's no what ifs. There is certainty. In the morning, about 5:45, I'm going to have coffee. It's a promise. You say, Pastor, what if you don't have coffee? Oh, I'm going to have coffee. I know in my mind how much coffee I have left in that Folgers can, and if I have a little, I'm going to have some waiting in the pantry. He said, Pastor, well, what if you run out? I'm going to Dollar General. I'm not going to run out. I'm going to have coffee. Well, what if Dollar General sold out? That happens at Dollar General. I'm going to Walmart. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to a gas station. If I have to go to the hospital, to the waiting room to get coffee, I'm going to get coffee. It's a certain promise. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, our living hope, it's a certainty. There's no chances. There's no what ifs or what if I didn't do it right. It's not based on you. It's based upon his resurrection. The promise of a living hope. It will happen. And that's the benefit you get when you're born again, a living hope. Point B, second benefit, an inheritance. Usually an inheritance is something you gain when someone passes away. In this case, the inheritance you are going to receive is not based upon a death. It's based upon the resurrection. Someone came back to life. Now, my mother informed my brother, sister, and I, don't look forward to your inheritance. There's not going to be much there for you. And I said, Nana, we already knew that. We're not looking forward to that inheritance. Our retirement's based upon heaven, not upon a teacher's salary. Amen? All the teachers grumbled, I know. It's something we gain when someone else bequeaths it to us. We have no right to the inheritance of heaven unless the Holy Spirit makes us new. You got no say in this. But here, God adopts us. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit who regenerates us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, hear me, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. We are making out like bandits because we get an inheritance from a family we're not even a part of, but God the Spirit brings us into the family when we're born again. Now let me give you four qualities of the inheritance. You say, Pastor, why are you going in this detail? Because Peter does, and I want to describe it to you. This inheritance we have reserved for us in heaven, number one, is imperishable. These aren't going to be in the notes. Sorry, Stephen. Imperishable. So that means your inheritance is not subject to death and destruction. What is awaiting for us as sojourners of the faith is indestructible. If I could explain it the best way I can, whenever there is a plane crash, the fuselage, the wings, every aspect of that plane is destroyed. You know what is not? The black box. The recording device that gives vital information about the flight. It always remains. In a sense, it's indestructible. Although all the things of your life may fall apart, your marriage, your health, your football team, all the things may fail you and diminish, but your inheritance will never diminish, will never die, will never be destroyed. It's indestructible. The second quality of your inheritance is it's undefiled, meaning it is pure, it is clean, it's got the cleanliness of heaven. It's not dingy or dirty. It's perfect. I try not to talk about my grandfather, but here we go. He was a hoarder. One spring break of my high school years, we spent an entire week pulling out garbage from his house from floor to ceiling. He was a classic hoarder. He also had a propensity to dumpster dive. He loved to go into grocery store dumpsters and get food for free. Now, I talk about like, oh, I don't like him. I have many qualities to Robert Oscar Rogers III. I'll admit that to you. And so my grandfather, we'd come to visit him, and he said, I got all these presents for you. Presents means expired food. And my mom, she warned us, she's like, you don't eat that. My father was like, I think it's okay, we can eat some. The breaking point for me was when there was an expired Cheese Whiz, a jar of Cheese Whiz, which who knows what's in that anyway. Expired, my dad warmed it up and he said, hey son, this is really good. And I was like, I'm out. I can't do that because it's defiled. He's like, oh, it's safe to eat. Not really. Your inheritance will never have a defilement. It's pure, it's precise, the cleanliness of heaven. It's imperishable, it's undefiled. Number three, the third quality, and it's unfading. And the way that word is used in Scripture, the flower fades. All the vegetation will at one point wither and die away, but your inheritance given by God will never fade away, will never diminish, never wither. The fourth quality about your inheritance, it's kept in heaven for you. So this is not a part of a bank. It's not a part of our government. It's in the treasuries of heaven. And since the way it's written, it's secure. Jesus himself has kept it under guard based upon his nature. And it's maintained in heaven for you. You have this inheritance as a believer awaiting you. The third benefit you have when you come to Christ, when you're reborn, is see salvation. You are spared God's wrath. So the punishment that you and I deserve, he placed upon Christ. So the wrath poured out upon him was really meant for you and me because we have sinned and fallen short of a loving God. But he spared us God's wrath. Not only that, he brought us into freedom. He paid our ransom and our salvation. While we have the benefit here and now, it won't fully be realized until we get to heaven. We can't fully cash in on our salvation until the moment we're in heaven with Christ. Salvation is based upon God's power, and it's guarded by faith, by the one who is faithful. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There are a lot of benefits you receive upon being born again. But now let me talk about the blessing of being born again. This is an astonishing gift, the blessing of being born again, an astonishing gift that you and I experience the moment of faith. This is the key event for a sojourner. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ without this event happening, of being born again. But the moment it happens, you have a future in heaven. But to those who have never been born again, you do not have the inheritance. You don't have the living hope. You don't have salvation because you've never been born again. This is really a twofold blessing, the way God blesses us and the way we bless God. God blessing us of being born again. This is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Okay, far exceeding a football game, even receiving a spouse or a career, being born again is the best thing. It's life-changing. It's eternity-changing. This week, I went to get my hair cut, and I went to a lady I've never been to before. Most of those folks I know on a friendly basis. And so I was sitting in the chair, and we were doing small talk. And then we were in the midst of things. She said, well, what do you want done? I was like, I don't know. You tell me. You got my card. And we were talking, and she said, well, what line of work are you in? I was like, oh, no, here we go. And I said, well, I'll tell you, but I don't want you to judge me. I said, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church. She said, oh, that's awesome. I'm a Christian. And I was like, okay, I've heard this before. And I said, well, how long have you been a Christian? She said, I've been a Christian for a number of years, but I was born again 3 years ago. She said, I did all the stuff, but it wasn't until God stepped into my life that I was made new. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, but I do care about you being born again. That moment the Holy Spirit comes into you and makes you new, makes you right, sets you before God. Psalm 32, the blessing of being born again. Blessed. I'm talking about you. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Oh, the blessing of being born again. There is nothing that compares to that event, that moment when the Spirit changes us. So when God blesses us, the being born again, but now there is a flip to the script, the blessing of us to God. You say, Pastor, I didn't see it in the text. Well, that's the very first phrase that I skipped over because I saved it for the end. It's us blessing God. When Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation point. Now, verses 3 through 5 talk about salvation, what happens, what you get, the benefits. But there is the expression of joy that Peter cannot withhold because he has been born again. And he says, I've got to bless his name because new life brings new behavior. New life brings new patterns of living. Everything is different when you get born again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are born again. And then he throws out the benefits. Peter burst out in praise because of God's grace and mercy. And for those who are born again, you've got to bless God. And you don't have to, you want to. We want to get together and praise him. We want to get together and pray and tell other people. Psalm 106, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Why are we going to praise him? Because I've been born again. And I can't help it. New life results in praise and thanks. And if you've got a problem praising God, you need to ask yourself if you've been born again. I have no other way to say it or ask it. If you've got a problem singing glory to Jesus Christ, what's wrong in your life? Or what sin is hindering your worship? Because I know this, the people that are born again live like they're born again. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, this won't be in the screen. Sorry, Stephen, I didn't give you these notes till end of the week. It says that Jesus is passing from Galilee to Samaria. So from bad to worse. On the way, he is entering into a village, and 10 lepers meet him and say, have mercy on us. And Jesus says to the lepers, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. They were made well. One, turned back and praised God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Yet, where are the 9? They were made new, but yet there was no change spiritually. Let me ask you the simple question. Have you been born again? Has there been a time in your life where you surrendered yourself to God, expressed faith, repentance, and made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? And with that, do you have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God, you've been born again. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not of the Spirit. If you need to make that decision of faith today, we talk about it as salvation, we're born again. Are you saved? Is your heart right with God? All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him on the third day. That's all it takes to be saved. And if you confess that, if you declare that, if you pray that, Scripture says, Scripture promises, you'll be reborn. You'll be made new. Have you been born again? Now, for those who have been born again, are you living like you've been born again? You see, when we ask ourselves the question, are you living like you're born again? We're living like we're looking to heaven, not the here and the now. Are you living like you're born again? Does your faith practice meet your belief? Maybe there's something in your way. Maybe there's a distraction in your life you need to pray about or seek counsel for. Maybe there's a decision of the faith that you need to make. Whatever it is, God's Spirit is drawing you to him today. So whether you're here physically or those online, you can make a decision to get closer to Christ. You know, Scripture tells us about the Holy Spirit that we've got to yield unto him. That as he